Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
Psalms 23 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, it comforts me." Amen. Why don't we just open up in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this moment, for this time, that your presence is evident in this place, and that, Lord, every heart be open to your word, Lord God, and that you would have your complete will and way. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Psalms 23 is one of the most beloved and well-known passages in the Bible. It is a beautiful and comforting song that speaks to the heart of David's relationship with God. That the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Another verse says, "I have all that I need." This simple but yet powerful statement speaks to God's provision and care. Just as a shepherd cares for his sheep and provides them with food, water, and care and protection, so does our God. The psalmist says that the Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. This suggestion that God provides rest and restoration for our souls. The psalmist says that the Lord leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This indicates that God is not just concerned with your physical needs, but your spiritual well-being. And in David understanding all this, that God is my provider. God is the one that restores me. God is the one that guides me in my life. Amen. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David had this revelation that if God is the source of my provision and protection and spiritual well-being, I can go through any circumstance, even if it costs my life. He was confident that God could do anything in his life. Church, there is no place that God will take you where he hasn't stepped foot. Amen. There is no place that God will take you where he hasn't gone before you. Who is God to you? Well, for David, God was his shepherd, and he understood that a shepherd provides for his sheep, and that he ensures safety, and that a shepherd takes care of his own. He had a relationship with God and had an understanding of God's role in his life and his role. Amen. And when you grab hold of this understanding, there is a shift in your perspective. There has to be a shift. Amen. It shifts the way you look at your situation. It shifts the way you look at your perspective, the trials that you go through, the tests that you encounter in life. David was not just content with God being able to meet his needs on the mountaintop, but that he understood, I can go through the darkest situation in my life. I can face the darkest storm. Amen. I can go through the driest desert, uncomfortable valleys, face giants, even though it costs my life. Amen. I can walk through a season of hurt, a season of betrayal, a season of loneliness. It does not matter, because whatsoever I go through, David knew, I have a confidence in God, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Somebody say that God is able. He is able, church. So I encourage you that that business you've been thinking about on starting, that mission field, that aspiration that you've been having lingering in your thought, that ministry you want to step into, have confidence because you serve Almighty God. Amen. That prodigal son, that family member that you've been praying for, that individual that you've been seeking that the Lord would touch, amen. Have confidence that God is able. Amen. Do not stop praying. Amen. That job you may be praying for. Amen. Those goals that you have in life, those aspirations that you want to achieve as an individual, have confidence because God, He is your protector. He is your provider. Have confidence and He will take care of you. The children of Israel walk with a chip on their shoulder. They truly believe and have the confidence that they are the chosen people of God. And with that, they believe that. And they're walking confident of that. And they're quite successful in every aspect of their life, in various innovation, in health, in weaponry. They're really good. Amen. But how about you? A royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation who shall show forth the glory of His work. How about you, young person? Knowing that you're chosen by God. Amen. That God has chosen you for such a time as this. David only had a rod to comfort him. Amen. But we have something greater than just a rod and a staff. Because the word of the Lord says that in the last day I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Is somebody here filled with the Holy Ghost? You got something greater than just a rod and a staff. You got the Spirit of God living inside of you. Amen. And that should give you confidence and a hope that whatsoever comes your way, that God is able. God is able to get you through it. God is able to make a way out of the wilderness. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a God who cares for you. He says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And just like David, you can go through anything if you have faith because He is able. You want to hear something quite profound? That faith is accessible to everybody. Oh, I love that. Amen. Faith is accessible to everyone. But you see, the power of faith is not your ability to just believe. All right? The power of your faith is in the object of your faith. It's not in your brain power to just believe. It's in the object of your faith. Amen. You have a lot of Muslims that believe in Allah. You got a lot of Buddhism that believe in Buddha. And they have faith. And when they pray and seek it, nothing happens. Because faith transpires in the object of your faith. There was a man, there was a centurion man where he was walking and he wanted Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house. And the man said, no, Jesus, no. Just speak your word. Just speak your word. Because me, I am a man under authority. And when I tell my servant, go and do this, he does it. Amen. Because that man had a revelation. He had an understanding of faith in his servants. He understood that I have confidence in my servant's ability to do what I say. And so his understanding was, Jesus, I believe in your ability. I have confidence that you are able to do it. Just speak your word, amen? Faith comes through in who you put your faith in. If you put your faith in Jesus, amen, all things are possible. With man, things are impossible, but with God, all things all things are possible. I just want to encourage you that you are anointed for the season, but you are also anointed for the problem. Everything that God has for somebody never comes through without a problem. You see, David says, I can go through the valley of the shadow of the death. Amen. And I will fear no evil. And then he says, you shall anoint me. Amen. You shall anoint me with oil and it shall overflow. And it's through those trials and tribulation that the anointing comes through. That the glory of God will come through within your life, church. Amen. It is through that season. Amen. Through those seasons that those blessings. Amen. The goodness of God. Because he said, he sets a table in the presence of my enemies. That is powerful, church. And he anointeth my head with oil. Amen, church. I just want to give you that encouragement, that have confidence in your God. Amen. Brother Paul, thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. What a privilege it is to be found in the house of God this morning. I want to give a quick, get through some of the preliminaries and give thanks to your pastor, first of all, for allowing us to come, Pastor Stan, and also National Youth Director, Brother Greg Wilmot. Thank you for allowing us young people an opportunity to come and minister. And for Brother Wiki, he's been so great, and he's become a great friend of mine, and he's been so hospitable along with his wife, Sister Mariah. What a great time we've had in their home, in the cars as we travel to different locations. My wife started complaining and saying, man, you guys, you never stop talking. I'm trying to get some sleep. You guys never stop talking. And it's just a sentiment to how we get along. And I'm thankful for the Lord that everywhere that we go, there's always a brother, there's always a sister that we can speak with. And I just want to give honor to him, and greetings from Apostolic Life down in Adelaide. Greetings from my pastor, Pastor Jeff Barendorf. I thank him and give him honor. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles today to John chapter 1. And it is a great honor as well for us to be able to be here with a great AYM team. And thank you, Brother Emmanuel, for opening up and preaching a great word of God. Amen. Was anybody blessed by the word of God, by Brother Emmanuel? Praise the Lord. First John, John chapter 1, verse 44 to 46, and the Bible says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then something peculiar that Nathanael would say in verse 46, and he says, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith, come and see. Come and see. And for a short moment of your time, I'd like to preach to you in this thought, the God of the broken. The God of the broken. You see, we live in a world today that is becoming darker and darker. Jesus prophesies of what would happen in the last of the last days. He says, many will come and in his name and deceive many. Wars and rumors of wars. There will be nations that will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdoms. This is the world. This is the reality in which we find ourselves here in this current society that we live in. Famines everywhere. There will be famines in the world. Pestilences and earthquakes in various places. There will be tribulations and even death. In the name of Jesus, and we will be hated for his name's sake. Offenses will arise, and betrayals, and hating one another, and it will be prevalent in the world. Of course, there will be false prophets that will rise and deceive many, and iniquity will abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. You see, in the world that we live in today, there is such a thing, a culture that has been contemplated, that is to say, a skepticism. A culture of skepticism. Someone that is from a particular background, someone that is from a poor neighborhood perhaps, they can be judged by the masses and say nothing good can come out of that person. They're from a particular part of town, nothing good can come out of that person. Perhaps it's somebody that has made a mistake. Perhaps it's somebody that's caused some hurt in their past and they're trying their best to move on. The are trying their best to reconcile with the things that they have done. But because of this culture of skepticism, we quickly judge them and say, nothing good can come out of that man. There's a saying that a leopard's spots can never change. A tiger's stripes will never change. Unfortunately, we live in the world that there is that skepticism. This is the society and the reality that our youth are going through today. Just because they weren't from a good family, just because they're a particular race, just because they're a particular skin color, they are judged because of where they're from. And there's a skepticism. There is a culture of skepticism in our world today. It doesn't matter what you do to try and get yourselves out of this mindset that the world has for us, but it is there. The careers of people are being ruined. Cancel culture is so prevalent now in our days. You only have to make a mistake in your social media page and say something that the masses don't agree with, and all of a sudden somebody, some smart person, will go and hack your account and find that post that you did some 10 years ago under the blood, as the Bible would say, and they would bring it up and they would condemn you for it. This is the reality that we live in. But I've come to tell somebody here tonight that even if the world would have us to believe that we are worth nothing, even if the world would have us to believe that we are not valued, even if the world would have us to believe that your mistakes define your future, your mistake is who you are, you will never come out of it, you will never become anything, but I've come to tell you that we have a God that careth for us. We have a God that says, even if you are this person in the eyes of the world, I have come to identify with you. I have come to identify with the broken. I have come to identify with the hurt, with the devalued, somebody that's not been forgiven. I've come to tell somebody here this morning, you are going through some hurts right now. There's some things in your past that perhaps you feel too embarrassed to share, because maybe you're going to get judged. Maybe you're going to get seen as somebody that is no good. But I've come to tell you that Jesus Christ has come to save, to seek that which is lost. He didn't come to save the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if you are that person today, I want to encourage you, Jesus Christ has not gone weary. He has all power and authority. He is the same God. Come on, somebody. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that took the Apostle Paul. Same God that took a guy that was responsible for killing Christians. The same God that took Apostle Peter, who denied him 3 times. The same God that took the disciples. They were flawed, every single one of them. That same God is in this place right now. That same God is ready to place his hand upon somebody that is hurting, somebody that needs a touch by the Master's hand. This is the God that we serve. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life and in the life of my family. I'm so grateful that I'm a young man. I still say that I am a young man, but let me let you in on a secret. I'll be turning 30 soon, but I'm still a young man. Amen. And a young man who went through some hurts and some traumas and some abuse. I grew up in a family that had a stepfather, and because of this, I grew up in a situation that was abusive. Every day in my life, I was treated like I was less than. I wasn't allowed to speak when we're in the car. when we're driving somewhere, the rules was you have to just be silent. I'm just going to be transparent with you here this morning. There were many rules and regulations that I had to do, and there were some physical things that happened in my life, physical abuse, because it was just the way that my father, my stepfather would discipline us. And this is what the reality that I found myself in. And after these moments, after these events, I would go and hang out with different kinds of friends and get into the wrong things, into drugs and into alcohol and into partying and having different kinds of relationships. I was at the very lowest of my life. But one day I met a young lady that decided to share the great news of the gospel unto me. And we had this great big argument about where we all came from. I was the proponent of we're all from monkeys. And she was, no, we are created by God. We are created by the Lord. Regardless of what the world says, we know the truth that we were created by the same God. And so we had this great big argument about it. And I was stubborn. I didn't want to let up, but she won in the end, and she invited me to come to church, and I came, and the very first time I saw the service, I was blown away, not in a good way. I was blown away because everybody was clapping and dancing and shouting and speaking in this unknown tongue. I couldn't understand it, and I freaked out. Let's be honest, I freaked out about it. And so I went home, and long story short, the Lord just continued to speak into my life. And as I kept coming back, as I kept coming back to that church, I remember one Sunday morning, Pastor Jeff now, but before he wasn't the pastor, he would preach about Acts 2:38. And he opened up the altar and he said, if you want to come to the front and repent of your sins, there's a God that's faithful and he will forgive you of your sins. And I began to just repent. I begin to lay out all these hurts and all these traumas that I had in my life. And then in an instant, God took away all the pain, all the bitterness, every unforgiveness I had for my stepfather. Because why? Because my father, my heavenly father, just stepped in the room. I'm going to tell somebody here this morning, where the presence of God is, there is liberty. And if you need a touch from the Lord, he's in the house this morning, and where his presence is, there is power, there is opportunity, there is liberty, there is transformation. You can be transformed. You don't have to identify to your hurts. You don't have to identify to your trauma. You don't have to identify for what the world thinks of you. I've come to tell you, Jesus Christ, he can be your identity here this morning. You see, Jesus, we can identify with him because he is synonymous with brokenness. He is synonymous with rejection. You see, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Bible tells us. He was born in Bethlehem, but yet we know him as Jesus of Nazareth. We don't hear of Jesus of Bethlehem. In the Bible, you find different characters that are named after where they were born. They were identified as where they're from. Paul of Tarsus, for example. They're identified by that. And in Matthew, I believe it is, Matthew would then, he would then quote in the Bible that Jesus was named a Nazarene because it was to fulfill the prophets, what the prophets have said. Now, I've looked and I can't find in the Old Testament where there was a prophecy that he would be called Jesus a Nazarene. So to understand why Jesus would be called that, I've come to realize that Jesus was named Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus the Bethlehemite. And when we pray over people, we say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I've come to understand it's because he's synonymous to, and he identifies, he has chosen, he has deemed it in his will to identify with the place of Nazareth. And the place of Nazareth, when you look up its history, it's an obscure place. It's a small city. There is a road, a trade route that goes through Nazareth, and there are many Gentiles that live in Nazareth. And in that city, they were synonymous with rejection. The other cities of the Jewish nation would reject them because of the occupation of the Romans at that time, and also because they assimilated with the Gentiles round about. And so being from Nazareth was not seen as good. Being from a place of Nazareth wasn't something that we brag about. But Jesus deemed it in his will to be a part, to be from Nazareth, to grow up in Nazareth, and to be identified with Nazareth. And when he met Apostle Paul, with that light shone upon his face, he says, it is I, Jesus of Nazareth. So he identifies with Nazareth because Nazareth was a place of rejection. And we know that Jesus Christ is identified as rejection. He came and he allowed his body to be broken. He allowed himself to be broken in place for us. This is what the Bible says in Isaiah 53 and 1. Matthew was alluding to this. That previous scripture was Matthew 2 and 23. And he was alluding to Isaiah 53 and 1, where he says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, and here it is, rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Doesn't that sound like some of us here tonight and this morning? Doesn't that sound like some of our lives back in the past? Jesus identified himself, and he is synonymous with rejection. Why? Because the God, all transcendent God, became human. He manifests in the flesh. Why did he do that? He needed to do that so he could identify with you and I. If he stayed on the throne, which he could have, if he stayed on the throne, there's no way that we would be able to relate to him. The Bible in the Old Testament, I can't see a spot where it says that God of the Old Testament cried, but in the New Testament, Jesus wept. Why? Because he's synonymous with rejection, so that he can identify with you. That means when you're feeling a little down, when you're going through some depression, when you're going through some anxiety, if there's shame and if there's guilt in your heart and mind this morning, you can come to Jesus. He understands it all. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be anxious. He knows what it's like to suffer and to have trauma. This is the kind of God that we serve this morning. With Jesus, we can have forgiveness of our sins. With Jesus, we can have redemption. With Jesus, we can be transformed. With Jesus, there is love and compassion. And we can have a new identity in Christ. Yes, the world may throw you aside. You make a mistake one time and they don't speak to you for 10 years. You make a mistake one time and that's it. You're cut out of the family. But I've come to tell you that Jesus says, come. Come to those that are thirsty. Come. My yoke is easy, the Bible says. Come unto him. Those that are weary, those that are hated, heavy laden, and he says, I shall give you rest. And if that's somebody here this morning, I ought that you would begin to open up your heart. Jesus understands who you are. He knows what it's like. He is acquainted with grief. My wife and I, we are very blessed to be able to come here, but we've probably had one of the hardest times in our lives the last couple of years. As anybody, as human beings, we desire to have a family, and for us, it was very difficult. For 10 years, we had tried to have a baby. For 10 years, we had tried to start a family. And for 10 years of the first 5 years, nothing happened. And so we decided we are going to see a doctor about what's going on. And we did that. And as we spoke to the doctor, they quickly found out that my wife had a condition that caused her internal organs to be squashed together, and it stuck to the back of her pelvis, and this has gone on for quite some time. We didn't realize how serious it was, and as we went through these years, we continued to pray and ask God for healing and ask the Lord for deliverance, and we continued coming. As my wife said, on Friday night, we kept coming, and every time there was an altar, we kept praying, and we kept bringing it unto God. And so we went through the motions, and I'm be honest with you, it was one of the most difficult times of my life. I began to become depressed. I began to become anxious, and I just felt that the Lord didn't love us, because this is something that we have wanted and wanted to have a baby, and we couldn't have it. And we would pray and nothing would happen. And so as the years went on, we continued to pray. And my wife went through several surgeries, and all of that went great, praise the Lord. And then we had an opportunity to go see the doctor again, and they checked out what was going on inside of her, and they said, there is no way that you will ever have a baby. Not naturally. Your reproductive system is too damaged. There's no way you can have children. So we went on and we prayed and we cried, and tears were shed. And then there was an opportunity to go through IVF. Now, for those that have gone through that, it's not cheap. It's very expensive. And we went through it, and we spoke to the doctors, and they said, based off the results of your wife's operation, it's too damaged. But he says, never say never. As some doctors would say, Sister Jemima, here in the house. And never say never. And he said, less than 1% you will have a baby. And so we took that one less than 1% and we gave it to the Lord. We began to pray. The church began to pray. We began to fast like we've never fasted before. We prayed longer like we've never prayed longer before. And as we prayed, God just opened up different doors and different opportunities. And what was less than 1%, all of a sudden, there's 8 embryos there ready for fertilization. And all of a sudden, we're like, Lord, this is beyond. This is beyond what we ever asked for. 8 kids. I don't know about 8 kids, Lord. We 1 or 2 or 3 is great, but 8, what am I going to do? Maybe 3 jobs. I might have to get 3 jobs to have 8 kids. And so the Lord, perhaps he listened to what I said in my prayer, and he dwindled it down from 8 to 5. They naturally died off. And then 5, Lord, that's great. 5, it's doable. Then a couple of days before the operation, it went from 5 days to 3 days. Lord, this is looking good. 3 days. Three children. That's great. The day of, he went to two. Now we're starting to get worried. Lord, there's two there. But, you know, we're going to keep the faith. And as that day, the morning of the operation, they said that second one died off naturally. You've got one chance. And they did the operation. And long story short, through prayer, through fasting, through seeking God, God saw the brokenness inside of our hearts. He saw every tear. He saw every time that we knelt down and sobbed before Him. He saw every time we were down at this altar and began to weep before Him. Because that one, we went from 8, less than 1%. We went from 8 to 1. And that one is running around in the back over there. That one is here, and I've come to tell somebody, it doesn't matter how broken you may be, I have a King. We have a King that is able to take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it into good. I have a King that's ready to heal. I have a King that's ready to deliver. A King that's ready to transform. He's in this house this morning. The same God that provided for me, He can provide for you. My God, your God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth understands your failures. He understands your shame. He understands your guilt, and He knows your broken heart. If you would just come and lay it before Him in the altar and begin to give God every hurt and every pain and every trauma, I can guarantee you that God will not turn you back. He will not turn you back, but He will lay His hands on you and begin to deliver you. He'll begin to deliver you. I'll tell you one more testimony before my time is up. My wife, again, seems to have a lot of problems. But my wife who, back when in our younger years, you know, as young people, we like to exercise, we like to get fit, and we bought one of these circular machines, and the whole point is you do this, and it's supposed to give you a six pack, an 8-pack, and we were enticed by this thing, and we're like, yes, by this time next month, I'm gonna have a 6-pack, and so we both did it. And we were very excited. And I told my wife, you've got to stretch before you do any kind of exercise. She's like, I don't need to stretch. It's fine. And so she did it. And next thing you know, my wife pulls her back. And she passes out, blacks out. And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? I came running. I heard this big thud on the floor. I came running into the house, and I find my wife unconscious on the ground. I began to call the ambulance and so on and so forth. And they begin to tell me that she had damaged her disc in her spine. And for quite some time there, every time she would move a certain way, she would start becoming dizzy and would black out at times. And this went on for a while. And we began to pray. We began to get into our prayer closet. We came to church. We asked for prayer every time there was prayer, every time there was an altar call. We came and we asked for prayer. And I remember one specific day. We came and my wife was struggling with this, and it limited her from doing anything. And so we began to come to the altar and we lifted up our hands. We lifted up her hands and we began to pray in faith in the name of Jesus. be healed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, begin to recreate that disc in her back. Begin to recreate those tendons and those bones and whatever you've got to do, reform her back. And at that very moment, when we began to pray, she explains it to me. There was a cool rushing, felt like in her veins, began to come from the tips of our fingers all the way down to her back. And from that very moment, my wife has been so healthy that she can do cartwheels if she wants to. The back pain is gone. The spine is healed. I've come to tell somebody tonight that our God has not gone weary. Our God is all powerful. The same God that defeated the gods of Egypt. The same God that opened up the Red Sea. That same God is here Ted this morning. And if you need anything from the Lord, why don't you come to this altar, begin to pray, begin to ask Him. And if you've got some guilt in your past, if you've got some shame, I've come to tell you that my Lord is here to forgive your sins. He's here to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He's here to deliver you of all sickness, of all ailments. Come and see, Philip said. When Nathanael began to become doubtful and have that culture of skepticism, what did Philip say? Come and see. You may not believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is here. He's here, so I'm imploring you to come and see. Come and taste that the Lord is good. I'll open the altars this morning. Praise God. Praise God.
Let's all stand here today. Thank you, Jesus. What a powerful word from the Lord we've heard today. If you believe what you've heard from the Word of God, why don't you respond in faith this morning? If you are facing an impossible situation, try God. Try Jesus. See if He will not answer the cries and the prayers of your heart. This altar is open. If you'd like to spend some moments, some time to pray and talk to God, let's seek His face together as a church. Lift your voice to the Lord who hears the cries of your heart. The high priest, the Bible says, who was touched by the feelings of our infirmities, the Lord is here today. The miracle worker is in this house. Faith is in this house. Let's lift up our voice and pray all over this house. Jesus' name.